Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, Lord, and bring our prayer and supplication, asking Thee, Lord, that Thy name would be glorified in this evening hour. We pray, Lord, that we can draw near unto Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst inspire us and encourage us through this Thy word and the reading and meditation thereof. Lord, that we might live lives that would be sanctified, that would be well-pleasing, and that would glorify Thee. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 11. Luke 19, verse number 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto him that stood by, take from him that hath the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. I wish to conclude there with a... With the Lord's help, let's step through these verses that we've read here together and see how the Lord had spoken to the people there at this time and how he's speaking to us likewise. This was a time when the Lord Jesus had been traveling. He was making his way to Jerusalem. He had been in Jericho, and now he's making his way up out of the Jordan Valley to Jerusalem, and he knows that this is going to be his last journey there. And he's making use of the time, and he's speaking to them urgently so that they would understand the word of the Lord and would understand what God would have for them. And he found it necessary that he would speak a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He knew what was going on in their hearts and in their minds, just as he does with us. He knew that they were expecting that as they get to Jerusalem, then the kingdom of God would appear. And they had great interest in this, and this is what they wanted. And it seemed that many were interested in this kingdom of God, because if we go back a couple chapters, it says here that he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them, saying that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And so Jesus is wants to teach his disciples, those who are with him, those who are traveling with him to Jerusalem, as he's ready to give himself as an offering, he wants to impress upon them, the kingdom of God isn't going to come when we arrive in Jerusalem. It's not going to happen at that time. And it was so that when Jesus was before Pilate there some time after this, that Jesus told them, Jesus told Pilate that he says that my kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from hence. The kingdom of God is not here upon this earth. As he said there to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. And so he wanted his disciples to know that they shouldn't be expecting that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. And then after Jesus resurrected and he was making his appearances to his disciples, they asked him, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were still looking for the kingdom to be restored back to them in an earthly sense. But again, this isn't what the Lord Jesus had in mind. The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. That's the kingdom that we are a part of. It's an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion endures. He has dominion throughout all generations. And so this is the kingdom that we are a part of. It's a heavenly kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. It is within us. And Jesus wasn't wanting to impart that to his disciples so that they would completely understand that he wasn't going to take an earthly crown. That was for others. That was for people who wanted it, like Pilate and Herod and others. They wanted an earthly kingdom. Jesus' kingdom was not an earthly kingdom. It is an eternal kingdom. In Revelation, we read, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the king of the kingdom that which we belong to. "And the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." And this is what gives us joy, is that our Lord has taken unto himself his great power, and he is reigning. And we allow him to reign in our hearts. We allow him to have authority in our lives. We submit to this great king. And so that gives us joy, and it gives us comfort also that our God has taken unto himself his great power, and he has reigned. When we see a man reign and be in control, we see failures. But we don't see that with our Lord. We don't see any failures with the king of this eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so Jesus spoke this parable so that they would know that the kingdom of God wasn't going to immediately appear as they arrive into Jerusalem. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So there was this nobleman, a landowner, one who had vast control over a vast area. And he was going to leave this area of control and go to another area and subdue a kingdom there and rule over those cities that are in this other kingdom, and then he would return back to his original kingdom. And he called his 10 servants, this nobleman, and delivered unto them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. So this nobleman has 10 servants, and he's giving to those 10 servants 10 pounds. It's a value of money. And he tells them to occupy till I come. Labor, trade, be involved, be diligent, strive, multiply this pound that I'm giving to you. You are my servants, occupy till I come back again. So those were the 10 servants. Then it says, but his citizens hated him. So these are other people who were not his servants, but within his kingdom there of the cities that he had the oversight of, over whom he had authority. And these citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So this is the context of this parable that he's saying. There's a nobleman, there's 10 servants, 10 pounds, and then there are citizens as well who did not like this nobleman and would not submit to his reign, his authority over them. Then it says, and it came to pass. So quite some time later, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he was able to subdue that kingdom that he went to get. He received that kingdom, and then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So again, he's a nobleman. You know that he has authority, and so he's sitting in his seat in his place, and he's calling his servants to come to him, that there would be a reckoning of what they had done with the money that he gave them. He didn't go to them. He called that they would come to him. And so it was now this day of reckoning. It was now going to be that every man had to give an account what they had done with this pound that was given unto them. Did they occupy? Did they trade? Did they use it? Were they diligent? The Lord wants us to labor in his vineyard, and this is what he's speaking to here, that we don't know when the Lord will come again. We don't know. No one knows. The angels don't know. The Son of God doesn't know, but God himself, God the Father. And we are being told that we are to occupy while we are here. That could be very, very soon that the Lord returns, or it could be thousands of years from now. We don't know. That's the Lord's sovereignty, and he can do as he pleases. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It could be a long, long time from now, or it could be very soon. But what this parable is teaching is that in that time, in this duration that we are here upon this earth, that we are to occupy until he comes. That we are to be laboring in his vineyard. That we are to be about our Father's business. That we would use the gifts and the grace that he has given unto us for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for spreading the gospel, for giving humanitarian aid, for being a blessing unto others. This is what he's asking of us when he tells us to occupy till he comes. Be about the Lord's business, as Jesus was about his Father's business. The Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So when this nobleman returned back to his kingdom, and he calls for his 10 servants to come before him, and they are to give an account, a reckoning of what they had done, every man with that pound that was given unto them. And here the Bible says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The Bible also says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And this is what Jesus here is saying. every man was to come now before this nobleman and give an account for himself, not for the other nine, or not for a group of three of the ten, but for them, for himself. How did he occupy while the nobleman was away? What did he do with that talent that was given unto him, that pound? So the first comes of the ten, says the first comes and says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. This man was diligent. This man was industrious. This man had good fidelity. This man sought to use this pound that was given unto him to the honor and to the glory of the nobleman of the country to which he belonged. He was diligent. And this is what the Lord is calling us to be diligent in our ways in the kingdom of God, to use the gifts and the talents that he has given unto us. And he does give us grace. The Bible says so. We read it in Ephesians 4. He gives us grace, and he gives unto us gifts. And as he gives us these things, he wants us to employ them and to use them, again, to be a blessing unto others, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to spread the gospel, to be a blessing, to give humanitarian aid as needed. This is what he's calling us to. This man was diligent, that had gained 10 pounds with the 1 pound that was given unto him. There's a proverb that says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. He was a wise man. I'm sure he had nothing to do with that servant, that wicked servant, who took his pound and laid it up in a napkin. I'm sure this man who gained these 10 pounds had nothing to do with him. But he was busy. Busy serving, busy trading, busy occupying himself with that pound that was given unto him. Earlier in Luke's gospel, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. How would we classify ourselves in terms of where we are in God's kingdom? Would we consider ourselves those who have been given little? Or would we consider ourselves those who have been given much? We have a lot of opportunity to occupy until Jesus returns. We have a lot of opportunities, a lot of gifts, a lot of grace, a lot that has been given unto us. And so we are to be diligent in our ways, in our service to the Lord, and to serve him well. So the nobleman says to him that had gained 10 pounds from the 1 pound, says, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. A pound isn't worth all that much money. It's a rather smaller amount. It's not that valuable, and so that's why here Jesus is saying, you have been faithful in very little, but the reward that was given unto him was 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Again, remember that these are 10 servants that were given 1 pound each. And they're making a reckoning now what they had been doing in the absence of the nobleman. And they're coming to the nobleman one by one, and they have to give an account of themselves to the nobleman. The first says, Lord. The second one says, Lord. And he says, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he was commended for that 5 pounds that he had gained with that 1 pound. And the nobleman said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. He labored. He walked among wise men. He did his part. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We have been given gifts. We have been given grace. We have received the gift from God. And we are to take this gift and this grace that has been given unto us, and we are to use that, to minister, to serve it to others. To others. As a good steward of the manifold grace of God. As one who recognizes, grace has been given to me. Much grace has been given to me. And I want to share that grace. And I want to be a blessing unto others. And so this is what the Lord would have us to do in occupying until he comes again. And another comes, saying, "Lord," again dressing the nobleman as Lord, "behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept up, laid in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow." This man used an excuse. This man simply just didn't labor. This man simply just didn't labor. He had no interest. He didn't want to use this pound. Who knows what he had occupied his time with while the nobleman was away. And this is a lesson for us as believers, as servants of the Lord. Again, these are the servants, not the citizens, but the servants of the nobleman, those who were the nobleman's servants, his own. He didn't want to work, and it did not fare well for him, because the nobleman responds and says, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." He referred to him as a wicked servant, simply because he would not labor, simply because he would not occupy until his Lord would come again, simply because he didn't feel the value in laboring that which was given unto him. And so the Lord referred to him as a wicked servant. "Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?" Couldn't he have just done that which was least? And he said unto them that stood by, "Take from him that hath the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they marveled. The people that were with in that audience, they marveled. But he already has 10 pounds. But the nobleman, the lord of these servants, says, "No, take that 1 pound that he has and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. This is the Lord's ways. This is what he would have. This is how he does his kingdom. This is how he reigns. He has this sovereignty to do that. And so it was taken away from him and given to him that had 10. Then he says, "But those mine enemies." So these were the servants. It speaks of 3 of the 10 servants. But now he's speaking of the citizens which hated him and would not that he would reign over them. He says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." This is what the nobleman said of these citizens who would not have this nobleman to reign over them. He says, "Slay them before me." Again, he keeps calling everything to come to him. He's not going, the nobleman's not going and going to each event that's happening here, but he's sitting here and he's calling his servants to him, and then he calls the citizens that would not that he would reign over them, that they would be brought before him and that they would be slain before him. That he would witness how they would be slain for what they had done. How they would not allow this nobleman to reign over them. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says that one jot or one tittle will not fail of the word of God. It will come to pass. So Jesus spoke this parable. And now let's read again in another place in Revelation. Here in chapter 14, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation.'" So these are the enemies who would not allow that this nobleman would reign over them. And likewise, men of this world who will only worship themselves, who will only live by their carnal ways, who will not submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, they will endure they will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. They'll be tormented, fire and brimstone throughout all eternity. But you know, the verse doesn't end there. What else it says here is, "and in the presence of the Lamb." In the presence of the Lamb. Just as Jesus spoke this parable, "Bring hither those mine enemies that would not that I should reign over them, and slay them before me." And here we read in Revelation that what will transpire, because the word of God is true, that those enemies of the Lord who would not submit themselves to Jesus, will not allow Jesus to be the Lord of their lives, will be brought before Jesus, and they will be tormented in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of Jesus. And then when he spoke this, he says, "Okay, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go to Jerusalem. My hour of glory is coming. I'm going to suffer on a cross." He suffered there. He was cruelly treated. And he did it because he loved us. And he died and was placed in a grave, in a sepulcher. But the grave didn't keep him. He rose. He resurrected. And by that resurrection, we also have a hope of a resurrection. And the grave now sits empty. And then Jesus ascended, and he went back to his Father in the clouds. But Jesus says, "I will return." Jesus says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works." We'll all be rewarded according to our works. We will all be rewarded as to how we occupied until Jesus comes again, until this notable event where time will be no more. We will give an account. Each one of us will stand before the Lord of our own. The 10 servants didn't come before the nobleman altogether. They each came, every one, before their Lord. We will each one come before the Lord. And he will ask us, "What have you done with the gifts and the grace, the talents that I have given unto you?" Now is our opportunity to labor in his vineyard, to labor according to how he would have us to labor, to occupy till he comes, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the spreading of the gospel, for helping those who are in need. How can we serve? How can we give as Christ did give to us? So may he bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.